Christ is risen. Christos Voskrese. You know, this is the last Sunday. We say Christ is risen, since the Ascension is coming up this Thursday. We take our leave of Pascha, the day before Ascension. On this last Sunday that we say Christ is risen, we read about the blind man. This man was born blind. In fact, we know from our holy tradition that this man was born without eyes. So when the Lord made clay, he actually, as it were, sort of formed eyes for him. But of course, when he washed off the mud, his eyes were created and he was able to see. Now the disciples ask, why was he born blind? This is a conundrum for lots of us. Why do evil things happen, either to ourselves or to others? Why is one person sick and another well? This is a mystery. Sometimes we can know why there is a sickness. Other times we do not know. Sometimes sickness afflicts the innocent, sometimes the guilty. Sometimes it is because of our sins. Sometimes it's because of other people's sins. Sometimes, as in the case of this man, in fact, most of the time, the great majority of the time, it is so that the glory of God may be made manifest. Perhaps not in a healing, but instead in humility, in cleaving to God, in trusting in God. You know, the body is only with us for a short time. This body that we have on this earth. And although we take great care of it, it doesn't last very long. So whether or not our body has eyes, or can hear, or can walk, these are attributes we can only use for a short time. But what we do with our soul, this is eternal. Now this man truly had a great soul. And if we look at this story carefully, we can see what is necessary in order to be enlightened, in order to be able to see. Now this man could not see with his eyes, nor did he know Christ. So he was blind in two ways. He did not know the Messiah, and he could not see with his sense of sight. And if you look at how the man was enlightened, it is an interplay between God giving him subsequent pieces of information and him responding with courage, with honesty, with reasoning. So the man, first of all, must obey the Lord, a very strange command at that. The Lord makes clay out of his spittle and anoints his eyes and tells him to go with this muddy face now to the pool of Siloam, stumbling along the way, I'm sure, and being made fun of by people. Probably the children of the town would be laughing at him. Perhaps some people would be sticking out their feet throwing things at him. He had to endure all this to go to a pool to wash mud off his face. But he did it. And he was able to see. So then the Jews, the foolish rulers, who did not understand the first thing about the law of God, not anything about the law of God, their gesticulations in this kind of in this story reminds me of that fairy tale, The Emperor's New Clothes. These are people who just don't understand at all. They are angry because the Lord did this healing on the Sabbath. Now, were they upset about this, that he supposedly did work on the Sabbath? No, they weren't upset about that. We have to see the inner reason for things. They were jealous. The Lord spoke with authority, not as the scribes. The Lord backed up his teaching with his actions, not as the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were jealous of him. They hated him. So they had to find any reason whatsoever to try to bring him down, so they contrive an idea that he did work on the Sabbath day. Well, in another place, the Lord said, what is right on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? Brothers and sisters, the blind man showed that he had good intuition about good and evil and about spiritual things. Even though he was ignorant, he had intuition. He had the ability to see things as they are. And we should too. Of course, it is good only to do good on the Sabbath day, not to do evil. And if that good involves work, may it be blessed. So the man is brought before the Jews, and they say, are you the person who was born blind? And they can't believe. And they ask him, you know, how were you healed? And they ask him, where is he? He says, I don't know. This is a man who didn't know Christ, was out of the mainstream. People who had disabilities were very much on the outskirts of society. They didn't know things. They weren't in the temple. They weren't in the marketplace. He probably didn't even know Jesus' name, because the place where they're begging, that's not the place where people are going to be talking about Christ. They're going to be talking about him in the temple, or they're going to be talking about him in the marketplace. But as far as these forgotten people of society, the lame, the blind, the insane, they're just shunt off in a corner. That was a lot because the Jews had this idea that if you had a disability of some sort, it was certainly because of your sins. Well, it may be, but most often it was for your redemption, so that you would give glory to God. So, he says, I don't know where he is. And so the Pharisees start to argue amongst themselves. This man can't be of God because he did this work on the Sabbath day. But how can a man who is a sinner do such things? And they have a lot of division. So they say to the blind man again, he says, what do you say of him? Now the blind man is observing this argument. And he knows that it's a good thing that he was healed of his blindness. So he says, he is a prophet. He understands that this is a special man who did something to him. And the prophets certainly, there were healings that occurred through the prophets, right? Elias, Elisha, Moses. But the Jews still didn't believe, and they wanted to bring his parents. Now his parents were more concerned about the praise of men, their standing in society. So they wanted to have all responsibility for discussing this situation to be put off on their son. He's of age, ask him. Yeah, he's our son, but we don't know how anything happened, and we don't have anything to do with this. Instead of rejoicing that their son was healed and standing with him and supporting him because of their stupidity, their selfishness, they say, well, he's our son, but, you know, we don't have anything to do with him just right now. You let him talk. So they call him. And they say, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And he said, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. Whereas I know one thing. I was blind, now I see. Now he said he's a prophet. And now he's saying he's not sure whether or not he's a sinner. But he's a good man. So they ask him again, what did he do to thee? Now, he's been asked this probably many, many times. So he says, I've already told you. And you would not hear. Why would you want to hear again? Do you want to be his disciples? I like his sense of humor. Because certainly that was an ironic statement. He's starting to understand that if they must hate this man, whom he doesn't even know yet and hasn't even seen. You can know a man by his enemies many times, huh? Man has got to have good enemies. The worse the enemies, the better the man. So, he says will you be his disciples? And they're very angry, we're Moses' disciples. And then, from all of this anger towards him, he's enlightened more. But this is because of his courage. He started out ignorant, blind and not knowing the Messiah. And then seeing but not knowing the Messiah. Not even his name. And then coming to the conclusion that he's a prophet. Perhaps a sinner, but certainly a prophet. But then he sees all the anger. And God enlightens him because he's willing to stand and speak the truth. He's willing to see things and say what they are. Not like his parents who wanted to run away. He had courage. So because of that, God further enlightened him. And he realized it's not that he's a sinner. He can't be a sinner. Perhaps he is only a prophet, but certainly he's not a sinner. Because he said, why hearing is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. The reason the blind man, who now sees, has come to this conclusion that Jesus is from God is because of his character. He had courage. He was willing to go to the next step. So the Lord enlightened him. Many of us lead very unfulfilled lives as Christians because we don't have enough courage. Man must stand. A woman, a child, must stand for principles. We are Christians. This means there are things that we will not do, will not say, will not give acceptance to. And there are things which we will not give up, and we will always do. Christians stand for the truth. Now, just like this blind man, we don't know all things, and there are things in our life that we are blinded. We don't see well. But if we are like this blind man, and as we are presented with situations to test whether or not we are really Christians, that we stand for the truth, the Lord will continue to enlighten us. You can think of this man's enlightenment from the time he was healed of his blindness to the time when he sees the Lord in the temple. And that all occurred in one day, only in a few hours. You can liken that to our lifetime. The Lord tells us many things to do, some of which we don't understand. But if we do them in obedience, and if when there is a time to stand up, and be counted, to be courageous about our Christianity, whether it means making the sign of the cross in the presence of people that we don't know or business associates, whether it means taking a moral stand with our children in school or in the workplace or some other such thing. Whether it means showing that we really believe because we live according to our beliefs. As we take a stand for truth, the Lord enlightens us further, just as this blind man was enlightened further. And if you look into your life carefully, you'll see there's many things you don't know, and there's many things of which you are very ignorant, which you should know. This kind of ignorance shouldn't frighten a Christian. What should frighten a Christian is if you are unwilling to live in the light that you've been given, to live courageously, to live morally. The more courageously you live, the more you will be enlightened. So, they're very angry about him, and they cast him out of the temple. Now, Jesus sees him later on, and he says, "Dost thou believe in the Son of God?" Now remember, he's never seen Jesus. And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he who talketh with thee." And the man's soul truly was good soil, ready to receive the seed, ready to be watered with the grace of the Holy Spirit. And so, after enduring on a day of his, on a great day, the best day of his life, he's thrown out of the temple. He's an outcast who's made an outcast. This persecution and this standing firm in this persecution prepared his soul. So that when the Lord said, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he who talketh with thee," he said, "Lord, I believe. I believe," and he worshipped him. Now, brothers and sisters, let us be like the blind man. We all have blindnesses in our life. We all have inadequacies, sins, mistakes, things we don't understand. Personality defects. We have all these things. All of these things can be overcome by the grace of God, but only if we will follow the gospel to the limit of our abilities. If we are not willing to be courageous in following the gospel, and the Lord will not enlighten us. We will be Christians in name only, but not in the heart. Now, our society gives many, many opportunities to follow the gospel. Many opportunities to show that we live morally, that we have a different code than the rest of the world, and that we follow it because it's true and it's good and it's holy. As a Christian, certainly you should not be proud of yourself, but you certainly should act that you have great pride in what you believe, in him in whom you believe. Don't be ashamed of God. Show that you believe in him by how you live. You'll have many opportunities to show that you are a Christian. And that what passes for truth, you know is falsehood, and you reject it. The more that you show your courage, the more the Lord will enlighten you. This is what the blind man teaches us. Let us be like the blind man. Let us not be like the parents or the Pharisees. Let us have courage. Courage to follow what is right. What is right is in our heart. The Lord has put it there. Follow it. and the Lord will fully enlighten you. Amen.